we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast today, brought to you by the Saints at Merritt Assembly of God, right here on WMIE 91.5 FM in Cocoa, Florida. So thank you for tuning in to us today and making us part of your journey. Thank you to everybody who for the last 2.5 years have let us know that you're listening to this broadcast and it's making an impact in the community. It truly is good to hear that. So we want to take this opportunity to invite you out to this Sunday. It will be our 64th anniversary at Merritt Assembly of God. Not my wife and I's personal 64 years. I'm the church is older than I am. But we will be celebrating Merritt Assembly of God being in existence for 64 years at the corner of Grove and Tangerine in Merritt Island, Florida. So if you would like to come out and be a part of that, we would love for that. We're going to start off our 65th year of ministry by taking up a missions offering. We will be having 6 missionaries, 5 of which are going to Guatemala City in just a couple of weeks. Another one will be going to India. Later this summer, we will be having one go to Belize, going in partnership with another local church here in Brevard County. And we'll just have to see how many other missions trips take place between now and the end of the year as God provides. So thank you for being a part of all that God does through us for his glory. Amen. And we do want to give a shout out today and say thank you to Jits Concrete, 536-5804. And they are experts in block work, concrete work. They can form it, they can pour it, they can finish it. They do a great job. And I don't know if you've noticed it, but summer has arrived in Florida. And so you don't want to be out there thinking that you're 18 and you can do all of this stuff that you could do back when you were a teenager. You want to leave those sorts of jobs to the professionals and allow them to get it done. They start early and they do a great job. Especially with concrete in the summertime, it dries so quick. You definitely want experts taking care of that, so you don't have any issues that you have to come back and deal with at a later time. So give them a call, 536-5804, 536-5804. So we are going to go back to Isaiah chapter 9. We have finished on Friday the passage from verses 6 and 7. Today, we're going to begin in verse number 8. Like I said, we're not going to touch on everything that's verse by verse in the book of Isaiah. I remember one time I was asked to teach the major prophets, which would be Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, and the book of Ezekiel. Daniel was its own separate course, and they wanted me to cover that in 13 weeks. As you can tell, when I'm doing these lessons here on the radio, it's going to take me longer than 13 weeks. There I just had 1 hour twice a week. And here I take a half hour 5 times a week. So I get 2.5 more teaching time here. And it is going to take exponentially longer just to get through the book of Isaiah than the 13 weeks that I would have had to teach at the Bible school. That was one of them. I said, you know what? I don't think I'm the guy to teach this course, not because I didn't know the book of Isaiah or didn't feel like I could teach the material. It's just that I didn't want to do a bad job on it. I'm not really too much on just doing things on a superficial level. I want to deal with the substance of the issue. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 8, and it says, "The Lord sent a word against Jacob, and it has fallen on Israel. All the people will know Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, who say in pride and arrogance of heart, 'The bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will replace them with cedars.' Therefore, the Lord shall set up their adversaries of Rezin against him and spur his enemies on, the Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with an open mouth." And for all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For the people do not turn to him who strikes them, nor do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore, the Lord will cut off head and tail from Israel, palm branch and bulrush in one day. The elder and honorable, he is the head. The prophet who teaches lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and those who are led by them are destroyed. Therefore, the Lord will have no joy in their young men, nor have mercy on their fatherless and widows. For everyone is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaks folly. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." I remember hearing a statistic some time ago that said almost all of the sermons that you hear preached in pulpits across America are restricted to about 29% to 33%, somewhere in there, about one-third of the Bible or a little less. We tend to focus on the things that we want to hear. The Bible talks about that in the last days, people would gather to themselves teachers who would scratch the itching that they have in their ears. The words that they share, it sounds good. And, you know, we want to be a refreshing, but sometimes the most refreshing thing in the world can be when someone tells you the truth of God's word. Listen, I have been lied to. I don't like being lied to. I feel as if I have a great big postcard that is across my forehead that says fool on it, and that people look up there and they say, "Oh, this is a fool, so I can just tell him anything." I don't like to be lied to. I don't like people telling me what they think I want to hear. I want to hear things as they really are. With that being said, listen to how verse number 8 reads. I want to read it very carefully. "The Lord sent a word against Jacob." Now, we often hear people talk about, if God be for us, who can be against us? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. We hear things about that, and thank God those are promises in God's word, but they are conditional upon our relationship with God. Whenever we persist in rebellion, whenever we persist in unbelief, whenever we persist in embracing a lie instead of clinging to the truth, we find ourselves not being on God's side. If you remember when Joshua crossed over into the promised land, there was an angel that met him there. And when Joshua saw him, he was obviously quite taken aback. And I realized that when you read this, that Joshua was quite the guy, because he says, "Are you for us or are you for our enemies? Are you for us or are you for our enemies?" And that's the way a lot of times we pose our questions to God. Are you for me or are you for them? The them being the people who are not in agreement with us. And the angel's response is really quite telling. He says, "Neither. But as captain of the army of the Lord of hosts, if I come, I'm on God's side. I'm on God's side." So the question should actually be posed from the angel to Joshua, and he says, "Are you for God or are you against him? And here in Isaiah chapter 9, the word of the Lord comes and it is against Jacob. Now, there's a passage of scripture in the NIV. It goes something like this. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. To the pure, you show yourself pure. To the blameless, you show yourself blameless. But to the crooked, you show yourself shrewd. And I was doing a sermon series one time on purity, and I came across that verse, and it became a life-altering verse. I began to look at that, and in the passage, it's in 1 Samuel and or 2 Samuel, 1 Samuel, the end of 1 Samuel, and it's also, it's in 2 Samuel, and it's in Psalms as well. And to the crooked you show yourself shrewd, it means that he stands in the path opposing us. He stands in the path opposing us. And the reason that he would be standing in the path opposing us is if we are on the wrong path, if we are going the wrong direction. If instead of on the path of life, we have chosen the broad road of destruction, God is there with warning signs, doing everything to make us aware of the dangers and the perils that lie ahead. And he's saying, this is not the way. And so that's why this says this word is against Jacob and it has fallen on Israel. It's not because God was wanting to treat them as enemies. It was that they were treating God as an enemy. And God says, I need to bring you back to what I have called you to do. So if you find that God is opposing you, please don't mistake that for him being mean or cruel or harsh. Instead, embrace it for the fact that he has a genuine love and compassion for you. And so we are living in a society right now where people are so hypersensitive. I'm talking extremely hypersensitive to where you can't even disagree with them. It's not whether or not you say anything to them. You can't even have a different thought or a different opinion. And like I've said before, opinions are just that. The only thing that is established in my life that is going to endure forever is the Word of God and the kingdom of God that is being raised up within me. And so I'm thankful when God has a corrective word. That's really what this is. It is a word of correction. And God tells us here, now listen, it says, all the people will know Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria who say in pride and arrogance of heart. That's really the crux of the matter. And that is, they had a pride issue. They were an arrogant people, and they didn't know. Listen, Israel and Samaria, Ephraim and Samaria, they had come against the nation of Judah, and so they were treating their brothers in the family as enemies. And they had been struck. And so he says, your speech does not reflect humility. It reflects arrogance. Now, we talk about grace in the New Testament. Grace is a wonderful, wonderful thing. But before it talks about God giving grace to the humble, it says God opposes the proud. He opposes the proud. Pride is one of those seven deadly sins. It is something we cannot afford in our life. We can't afford it in our marriage. We can't afford it in our churches. We certainly can't afford it in our country. You know, I've seen some creatures. My parents had farm animals at various stages, not all at one time, but, you know, we've had chickens and we've had pigs and we've had cows and we've had horses. We've had all sorts of things. I'm not sure if there were any ducks in there at one point in time or not, but they had all of those things. And you would see these little bitty creatures, and they would go around with just this puffed out demeanor about them, not realizing that you could squash them like a bug. And I believe a lot of times people go around and they're puffed up and they're arrogant because of their, what they perceive are their achievements or their status when compared to somebody else. And really, the New Testament is quite clear that we are to boast of nothing other than God. We are to boast about our God. That is what we should be doing. We are not supposed to be boasting about, you know, well, look what I did compared to you. You know, comparisons going on like that. That's always going to make somebody look bad. You know what I have to boast about? I have to boast about Jesus went to the cross and forgave me of my sins that were going to send me to hell for eternity. But he loved me enough that he went to the cross and he gave his life so that I could be forgiven of my sins. So then what happens is people get into, well, if you think you led a bad lifestyle, you ought to see the lifestyle I led. You know, the scripture is quite clear that he who violates one area of the law is guilty of the whole thing. And so we need to quit boasting about all of the horrible things that we did. I thank God for redemptive testimonies of people whose lives were a complete and total wreck, and God saved them and brought them back and restored them and refreshed them and established them for his glory. Thank God for that. But I also am very thankful for people who were raised in a household of faith, who never abandoned the altar, never abandoned the word, and pursued God and God's call and his will in their life, and they pursued it and never turned aside. Thank God for that testimony, because both of them are due to the grace of God and the empowering of his Holy Spirit. I tell people who start asking me, well, what is your end time theology? And I could tell you what my theology is. I believe that God loves us. I believe he's coming again for his bride. Somebody asked me, several months ago, maybe even a couple of years ago, do you still believe Jesus is coming again? Yes. How can you still believe that? Well, it's told me in his word that there were going to be times that people would be doubting and mocking and scoffing, saying, where is he? How come he hasn't returned yet? So, I mean, God already told me that this was going to happen. So this is nothing new. By the way, I look around and I see a whole lot of prophecies being fulfilled, and that, you know, 2000 years ago were written in the book. And so he's got a pretty good track record. And just because it hasn't happened in my timetable doesn't mean that it's not going to happen in his. And so I continue to believe in God's word. And then people say, well, I don't believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. And, you know, they'd say they would believe in a mid-trib rapture or no rapture at all. And what I tell people is this, you know, I have an opinion about that. I'm very comfortable with that. I can see some points that people make. It's not one of those things that I'm going to cut off fellowship with people, because the truth of the matter is, one day Jesus is going to take us to heaven to be with him. And there's not going to be anybody throwing high fives up in heaven, or when the rapture takes place, nobody's going to even care that they said, you know what, I got it right and you got it wrong, in your face, buddy. That's not going on in heaven. That's not the humility. See, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. And so the people of Israel, it says they were saying in pride and arrogance of heart. Now listen to the heartbeat. By the way, there's a book out there that deals a great deal with this particular passage of scripture called The Harbinger. It's a biblical novel. Jonathan Kahn, I believe, is the author's name. And if you like Christian books, you should read that. It will be very, very challenging for you. It'll give you a great deal of insight, and you will see that this passage keeps coming up over and over again. And so here's what it is. Now remember, this is God speaking a word, and it says, you say in the pride and arrogance of your heart, the bricks have fallen down. The sycamores are cut down. So the trees have been impacted and the buildings have been impacted. The materials that they had been used to make them have collapsed. And it says that these people were boasting that they were going to put better in its place. They were boasting that even though disaster had come, they were going to make it new and improved. They weren't going to put the same material back again. They were going to step it up a notch. And it never dawned on them that they might be finding themselves in an attitude contrary to God's plan. By the way, when Assyria does come, Israel, the entire nation of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, they get carted off into a new land, and people are brought in from another region. They are transplanted into this land. And so this boast in Isaiah chapter 9, it never comes to pass. It never comes to pass. And so today we could look at this. We could say, wow, it's a really interesting passage of scripture. But I would like to ask you this. And that is, do you find yourself pursuing God's will and God's plan, or have you found yourself drifting away from Him, or even actively pursuing a course contrary to His word? It grieves my heart when I hear of so many people who have given up sound theology, biblically based teaching, to embrace a false ideology here in the world. It grieves my heart, because I know that it's not going to end well. I pray that I'm wrong, but I God's word is not going to ever miss its mark. God said exactly what He meant. Now, I've said on this radio program, whenever you listen to me or you listen to any other speaker, the scripture says, in where there's a multitude of words, sin is not far from it. So you may hear some verbal blunders. And when I listen to the broadcast, I oftentimes catch it at different times during the day, and I hear some of the things that I say, like I things like that. It grieves me, because God, why in the world do I keep saying that? But there was another one in case you missed it. So I hear those things, and it grates on me, because I don't like the way that it sounds. Now, you might start focusing in on that, and if so, I apologize for sowing that seed into your life. But I do want to ask you to look at your heart and say, am I pursuing what God's will is? My daughter and I, we were watching a program the other night, and we saw a commercial, and I really liked the commercial. There was a couple of commercials that stood out. One of them was a motorcycle commercial where the little toddler is waiting for his dad to ride his motorcycle into the garage when he comes home from work, and they ride in together with the kid on a tricycle. And my wife does not want me riding a motorcycle. She told me a long time ago that I could either ride a motorcycle or be married to her. And I've been married. We just celebrated our anniversary last week. So I made my choice. I'm comfortable with that. I'm not a huge motorcycle rider. Never was. Had a mini bike, had an accident, kind of cured me of that. But there was another commercial, and it was J.J. Watt, who's a football player. And he said, I don't chase dreams. I hunt for greatness. I don't chase dreams. I hunt for greatness. In the kingdom of God, the only path that we have to greatness is by pursuing the heart of the King. And so I want to ask you today, are you just going nonchalantly through your week, this week? Is that what you've got on your agenda? Or do you want to push yourself to know him more than you've ever known him before, and know him in his holiness, and know him in his majesty and his greatness and his compassion, his mercy and his grace, because God wants us to know him that way? The other thing I'd like to ask you to examine today is what prompts you to speak the things that you do. Is it because it is what you've heard the Father say? Is it some old truths that you are bringing out of your storage bin? Do you speak out of humility, or do you speak out of pride and arrogance? Because unlike what you might hear from some sources here in our modern society, motives really do matter. In fact, God says that he is able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. It doesn't matter. It doesn't just matter what you do. It matters why you do it. And so I want to ask you today to make sure that you and I maintain humility in the midst of this arrogance-obsessed culture that we live in. Our society is drawn to people who make great boasts, but I want to be the one who boasts in the Lord our God. So that's where we are today. And by the way, I also would like to say this. If God knocks something down, he probably did it for a purpose. And in his mercy, he wants to build it back up. So I just encourage you to be sensitive to God's leading and say, God, you know, have your way in this situation today. So let's close in prayer, and then you are going to be free to pursue the greatness of God in your life this week. Amen. Father, we just want to thank you for your word. Lord, I want to thank you because when we are on the path of righteousness, you are for us and not against us. God, I want to thank you that even when we're on the path of sin, you're for us because you want us off of that path of destruction and you want us on the pathway of life. And I pray, God, that none of us would be so selfish to boast in our accomplishments. Instead, we would be humbled by the greatness and the majesty of God, that we would just consider it a great privilege to be partnered with you in whatever you are doing in our community. God, may we speak in humility and grace because of your great love. Bless the listeners today and give them a great week in Jesus' name. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you. It's like a